Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 19th day of September. I am your host, Paul White. It is such an honor that you're with me today. I want to encourage you to check out the full-length drop that happens today called The Song of the New Testament. I'll not bother to give you too many details. I gave you all of those yesterday on the pod. I just want to remind you that it is there, both audio and video. Wherever you're enjoying this podcast, whatever platform, the audio is available to The Song of the New Covenant. Check it out. We hope it blesses you. Speaking of, we hope you are blessed, man. That is my prayer. I hope you are walking in the free favor of God. I hope you are experiencing the goodness of God in wonderful and marvelous ways. And I would also hope that if you are in either South Carolina or Georgia or Missouri, you will consider coming to be with us in the next 2 weekends. We will be on the road. This Friday night, the 24th, we will be in Chapin, South Carolina, for our monthly meeting with our good friends in the Columbia, South Carolina area. And then on Sunday evening, we will be in Flowery Branch, Georgia, for our monthly meeting, continuing our Seven Churches of Asia series. This month, we are on the church at Sardis. These two meetings are, their times, dates, locations are all on our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. Then next Sunday, the next Sunday, October the 3rd, we will be in Missouri, and I will be ministering for my dad, Rick White, at the Southside Poplar Bluff General Baptist Church and on the third day of October. That is Sunday morning. Once again, time, date, location, all of that, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. Okay, we have watched the blood of Abel drop to the ground. We're in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. God has said to Cain, "What have you done? The blood of your brother cries out to me from the ground." And I told you at the end of the podcast yesterday, this is a great way to set us up sort of foundationally today, is to understand that what happens when Abel's blood hits the ground is a whole new way of living begins. And I told you that I want to cover something today that I think I got wrong for a long, long time. And I don't have any problem saying that. I've had a lot of people say to me, you know, one of the things I like about your ministry is that you will say, hey, I used to say this, but I was wrong. And now I say this, and they say a lot of preachers won't do that. Well, I can't attest to whether or not a lot of preachers will do that, and I don't know. I don't know that it's anything worth bragging about. What it indicates is that I find that I'm wrong a lot. And I guess the good thing is if you're going to be wrong a lot, at least admit it and then try not to be wrong forever. That's where the side I'm landing on. I mean, if I'm going to be wrong a lot, then at least I can try to land. Now, to do that, I have to have that revealed to me in revelation. It doesn't work with me in argument. It doesn't work with me in persuasion. I'm a student of the word, and so I've got to see it. It's got to be something that pops for me. It's got to be something that comes alive. In so much of my journey of the last 5 or 6 years, we went through this major transformation in my personal eschatological stance, and we started teaching those finished work eschatology courses way back in 2015, and that was the culmination of years that I had privately been wrestling that out until I started teaching that. And so a lot of times in those eschatological verses, from whether it's Matthew or Luke or Revelation or Daniel or any of the stuff in the epistles, I would get so locked in, so focused on interpreting it inside of the context that sometimes I could walk right over something and miss a forest for the trees because I was trying to land the plane, so to speak, I was trying to land it on a certain runway. Let's say it that way. Instead of really understanding there was a few things maybe I was missing. And here's an example of that. Jesus told his generation, and I've said this to you many times, that the events that would happen in Matthew 24 would happen within their generation. And I've told you that the lead up to that is Matthew 23, where Jesus says that the temple one stone's going to be left unturned. That's actually the beginning of Matthew 24. But at the end of Matthew 23, he laments over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often I've wanted to bring you under my wings, as a hen brings her chicks under her wings, you wouldn't let me. This total wholesale rejection of the temple worship to their Redeemer. And at the end of Matthew 23, Jesus said, I'm going to send you prophets, wise men, scribes. You're going to kill them. You're going to crucify them. You're going to scourge them in your synagogues. that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. That's Matthew 23:35. And what I've done with that is just focus so much on the fact that the blood of everyone from Abel through the prophet Zechariah, who's a character at the end of the Old Testament canon, has been good men dying at the hands of evil men, and good men dying at the hands of evil men is going to find its recompense. And that's how I taught that. It's going to find its recompense, and Jesus is saying it's going to happen in your lifetime. That recompense is coming. Okay. Nothing wrong with that, so to speak, but it's limited because it's not addressing the problem. I thought it was addressing the problem. I thought that what I was saying was that what needed to happen at AD 70 is that God needs to justly bring justice upon a system that brought injustice. But I want to take you over to Luke chapter 11, where Jesus says the same thing that he says in Matthew 23, but there's a little bit in there, there's wording in there that helps us to figure out what Jesus might be saying. Let me reread that to you from the Luke version, Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 48. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers. They indeed killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Okay, the phrase that I was missing that has just recently popped and it's unlocking some things for me is the phrase foundation of the world. That which was shed from the foundation of the world will be required of this generation. Now, the reason why that phrase is important is because in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And here's how I've taught that. I have taught that Christ was destined to go to the cross from the time God created the heavens and the earth, that the cross was not some afterthought, but the cross was the end game the entire time, that that's where God was going. Now, I want to revise that, okay? And I just want to say now, right here, that wherever I have sort of died on that hill in past sermons, in my books, because I'm sure it's in there, I want to give an updated revision. And I'm going to land on the revision today, and then we're going to talk about it tomorrow, because I don't want to just drag on and on. But the revision is this. Based upon the fact that when we hear the phrase foundation of the world, it is attached to the blood of Abel, and that Jesus has called those who will reject him sons of their father a murderer, we know Jesus is positing himself as a new Abel, and he's positing the people who will kill him as a Cain. And he says from the foundation of the world, and then he gives us that foundation where it started, at the blood of Abel. And then when Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, it tells me that we're not talking about creation. We're talking about the beginning of the society of man, or AKA the beginning of the system of civilization starting with Cain. Civilization built upon murder and deceit and vengeance and power and selfishness. All right. There's the case. We'll work on it tomorrow. See you then.